This is an official interruption of your local entertainment transmission.
You wanna be peace? Put one hand on your radio.
You that are listening to this radio broadcast,
I didn't want you to actually put this crap on the radio.
Online tonight.
Computers can do that?
And now, from the most connected city in the universe, this is Online Tonight with David Lawrence.
Hello.
On the air, toll free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, David Lawrence.
Wait, I gotta check something out here, because that's what you call when you dial the phone. We're going to do
Online Tonight.
Are we going to do the show tonight and do the contest at the same time? You really expect me to have the high power kind of show we're going to have on tonight and do a digital scavenger hunt contest at the same time?
Of course.
All right.
Of course.
Lay down the gauntlet. Paint me professional. I have to go now.
Okay.
I have to go and raise the bar of excellence here. Hang on. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. 1-800-39-ONLINE is our telephone number. 1-800-396-6546. There you hear it. Ms. Von Stuff is holding me to my commitments here. We're going to give away a bunch of prizes this evening as well. Although, I'm not sure this hour you'll get much more out of me than the clues. We've got a terrific hour in store here, the next hour, the hour after that. I mean, a whole bunch of things happened today. And, you know, to be fair, look, it isn't even the 4th of July. So you're getting much more than your money's worth on a Tuesday night show. 1-800-39-ONLINE, that's our telephone number, 1-800-396-6546. The name of the show is Online Tonight, and we are heard on great radio stations all around the country. My name is David Lawrence, but please don't let that ruin your Tuesday evening. We have got with us on the phones for the first hour, we've got Steve Gibson from Gibson Research Corporation and Tom Green from The Register. And let me just welcome both of them to the show. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Great. Glad to be back.
Thank you so much for being with us. And Thomas, let me just say, it is a pleasure and an honor to have one of the fine journalists from The Register, biting the hand that feeds IT, but based here in Washington, D.C., sort of the inverse of Sam Litzinger, right?
That's correct.
Do you know who Sam Litzinger is?
No, I haven't seen him.
All right, well, then you don't get the joke.
Going along with you.
Of course. That's the way to do it.
That's right.
Way to go, pal. Sam Litzinger is the CNET correspondent in London. See, CNET's based here. And what part of D.C. are you in?
Friendship Heights.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, see, I used to work at Mix 107.3 and at WMAL, which is right there at 44th and Jennifer. So I used to be hanging out at the Mazza Gallery and the Bowie Mongers there.
Really?
Long before there was all those sports bars and TGI Fridays and what have you. I mean, there was actually a venerable Riggs Bank there, and I'm not even sure it's still there, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, is it really?
It's shrinking.
It's a relic.
It's beautiful.
It is a leftover.
It's funny, you sound a little bit old to be hanging out in the mall. Is this a while
no,
back?
No, I'm a mall rat,
okay.
Actually. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm hip, I'm happening. I speak the lingo of today's modern man and woman.
Okay.
And so, you know, when I want to jump on the skateboard and, like, go down the Mazza Gallery and, you know, like that.
We'll get you a vulture tank top.
Wait, here we go. Yo, sup, G? Thank you. Thank you very much. 1-800-39-ONLINE is our telephone number. Thomas is based here in D.C., as this show is, but he writes for, is it a London newspaper, or is it a web-only thing like Wired? What's the deal with The Register?
No, it's web-only. It's like Wired News.
Okay, so it's like Wired News. All right, so great. So you're all right. Automatically, you're in the same category as Brad King, which puts you at a disadvantage on this show. But,
darn.
You know, yeah. And Steve, is this the first time that the two of you have actually spoken to each other, or have you talked to each other in the past?
No, this is the first time. I have no idea who Thomas is.
Fabulous. Once again, bringing together the beautiful people in a forum where they can, you know, show their love for one another. Amazing. All right, so Thomas, why don't we start and get a little bit... We all know what Steve's background is. He wrote Spin Right, and... He has the Shields Up tests, which brought us to him to begin with, that are pretty cool. And why don't we talk about you? Why don't we find out what led you to be a writer for The Register?
Oh, dear. Must we? Okay.
Well, just because your chops are important.
All right. I used to cover Big Pharma on Capitol Hill for an industry
newsletter.
Pharmacology?
Yeah. And I liked the beat, but I didn't much like the rags, so I quit. And during the time that I was, quote, looking for a job, for some odd reason, I was, like, online a lot, you know, working really hard at that. And I discovered the Register roughly 2 years ago. Followed a link. I thought, wow, this is very well written. These guys really don't pull any punches. This is terrific. So I bookmarked the site and came back to it. And being the dope that I am, it took me about 3 weeks to come up with the idea that if I liked reading it, I'd probably like writing for it.
Nice.
So I decided to cover something IT-related up on the hill, and I sent it in, and I got back a message saying hallelujah.
Really? It actually said? Actually? Wow.
Beautiful. Yeah. No, it really did say hallelujah. It really did.
Wow.
So I started freelancing for them, and after a short time, I became a staff member, and after a short time after that, I became a senior staff member.
Okay. Well, all that is very Horatio, and very self-effacing,
bootstrap,
too.
Bootstrap, blah, blah, blah.
But it doesn't say anything about any background in IT or security or all that stuff. So where's that part of your CV coming from?
Yeah, on advice from my attorney, I have to decline to answer that.
What? I'm sorry, that's not on the list of answers.
Oh, golly gee. No, I do have a little background in security, but it's probably from the wrong end of it.
Hacking, perhaps?
Golly, I didn't say that.
All right, and where did you specialize? Anti-Microsoft, pro-Unix, the two flavors that I usually see of hackers. But which, you know,
actually, my specialty was social engineering, HTTP access, using HTTP as an exploit mechanism.
Did you
using
ever,
the browser as a weapon?
Did you ever,
I found that to be very fun.
Did you ever use phone sex to get a password out of a secretary? I'm just asking this because you know
you must be thinking of somebody named Kevin.
Kevin Kieran? Oh, Kevin. Oh, I see. What's up with Kieran, by the way? Do all you people just band together and support each other no matter how wrong you are?
No matter how... Yeah, right.
I'm just asking.
I was really surprised, too, because his original columns were, you know, they were balanced, and I thought they were fine.
What's up with Kieran? I mean, we've asked Kieran to be on because he's had some pretty cool columns before, and he writes back, you know, ancient, anachronistic, British... You know, words like bollocks, which, yeah, you know, if I was saying that on the air in Britain, it'd probably get me higher ratings, but here, who cares? I'm sleeping then, you know, like, who cares what you're doing? Get up. Look, if the hacker that broke into Britney's site will get up at 4 in the morning and be on this show, certainly Kieran McCarthy can pull his British butt out of bed and be on the show. Speak for him, Thomas.
No, he can't be bothered. He's an ethereal being.
Fortunately, this is being recorded, so he'll be able to play it back later.
Yeah, there you go.
He's an ethereal being, which we all worship, and he can't be bothered with the trivia of the world.
Yeah, apparently not. It's pretty interesting. He wrote back to Lily and said, no, not going to do it. In some accent, who knows? He had, like, accent tags at the beginning and end of his email.
The guy is dead cool, really.
Okay. All right. So there you have it. You know, not an untrivial background for Thomas Green. And by the way, let me just say before we go any further with this, your work on MTV, Tom. I mean, just amazing. I don't know if the rumors are true about how hot Drew Barrymore is in bed, but I got to tell you, to go from the MTV thing, which I understand you're out of work now and all that, to this Register thing. I mean, a lot of people wouldn't do that, but you did, and you did it smoothly, I might say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people think I'm being pretentious by going Thomas C. Green, but there's a reason
for that. Of course. David H. Lawrence doesn't sound the same as D.H. Lawrence. But,
and don't call him Dave.
Well, I'm talking about the guy that wrote Sons and Daughters, not, you know, Lady Chatterley's lover. His name was David, too. 1-800-39-ONLINE is our telephone number. I'll be ignoring the phone calls for the next 45 minutes. We're talking with Steve Gibson and Thomas C. Green, Steve of GRC.com and Thomas C. Green of the Register. Back in a moment.
Wake the kids, phone the neighbors, come in from the lawn. This is one that you won't want to miss.
I
want to
show you my good.
All right, digital scavenger hunt in effect. We got, Mr. DVD is going to give away the DVD player for June. We just pulled our name earlier today, seeing as how it's the first time Mr. DVD from Netflix.com will be appearing on the show. And so he'll be giving away the DVD player to some lucky wiener from last month. But we begin all over again, and if you win tonight, your name will go into the hopper for that Sony DVD player at the end of the month. But you win tonight a 3-month Netflix membership. all the DVDs you can rent for 90 days, plus a copy of some software and our Online Tonight underwear, the official late-night surfing uniform. Let's begin and hopefully kill two birds with one stone here. I'm going to ask our first clue, and you got to jot down all six clues, but the first clue of six is the geek speak for this hour, and it's raw sockets. Steve, you want to take a crack at that, and let's see if we can find a meeting point here?
Take a crack at the definition?
Yeah.
Okay. Raw sockets is an interface that allows applications to gain direct access to the packet level traffic on the internet.
Okay, as opposed to
cooked sockets.
Cooked sockets, right? Okay.
Where you're dealing with a sort of an abstraction. You say, give me a connection, or send a datagram, as opposed to actually building your own. So it's sort of an erector set for building your own packet.
So another, being that it's raw, it's nameless. It's just raw. So there's no like UDP or HTTP or TCP.
Or ICMP.
ICMP, right,
yeah,
exactly.
Now,
let me stop you,
yep,
and let me just take a moment to figure out if perhaps we've created a beautiful moment here. Thomas?
Hello.
Would you agree with that definition?
100%.
Ladies and gentlemen, our very first meeting of the minds. And another hallelujah. There you go. Fine. 1-800-39-ONLINE. There it is. Your first clue, raw sockets. Jot it down. First of six that you'll need to win in the digital scavenger hunt tonight. We'll give you that prize pack coming up a little bit later on in the
hour. Online Tonight.
Hot and fresh in 30 minutes or less, or it's absolutely free.
Okay.
This is Online Tonight with David Lawrence. Now, here's David.
All right. 1-800-39-ONLINE, this portion of the show brought to you by Moreover. Moreover monitors the web for online news and information that affects your business no matter where it comes from. All the time on the web at www.moreover.com. And this portion of Online Tonight is brought to you by Rackspace Managed Hosting at rackspace.com. Fanatical support, unmatched flexibility. Call them at 1-800-961-2888 and say, nice rack. They are the power behind online-tonight.com and netmusiccountdown.com. I feel like no matter what happens for the rest of the hour, I've accomplished something here. Because the definition, the sheer definition of raw sockets is something that our two guests, Steve Gibson of GRC.com, the giver of the definition, and Thomas Green, the receiver listener of the definition, have agreed upon.
But David, I'm afraid from all appearances that's where we begin to diverge.
Well, and that very well may be, and I think that's part of it, because I think a lot of what I read, I asked both of you, thank you very much, to send me examples of email that you'd gotten from supporters about the doofishness of the oven. And both of you supplied me with about, 10 to 20 emails each. And it seems as though what is the severe disagreement here...
You actually read them?
Of course, I read them all.
Oh, cool.
And I think what it seems to be the severe disagreement here is whether or not it matters, and whether or not the fact that raw sockets are exploitable is something to be worried about. It seems like one camp says, look, it's what I call the throw your hands up in the air camp and say, F it. You know, we can't do anything about it, so why worry about it? And the other camp is, well, in security, you can never do everything or anything about everything, so you do what you can, and to simply say, I'm sorry, we can't stop it, is infantile. Would that be a fair assessment?
Oh, I don't know about that. I'll say that I agree with Steve 100% that raw sockets are exploitable. So I was waiting for the hallelujah music. But
No, that's getting old.
Never mind. But I would say...
That's why you work in newspaper and I work in the radio, okay? I know when to stop. I know when to leave the audience wanting for more, okay? All right.
Keep going, Thomas. What do they call those, carts or something that you stick in?
No longer, Thomas.
No.
I, of course, used carts back in the 80s when that technology was popular. But no, today we use digital hard drives and we can do things like, for example, Snoop Dogg listens to this show a lot, right?
Yo, what up? I'm Snoop Dogg and you're online tonight with David Lawrence. With David Lawrence. Peace.
Even he and his posse love this show. Or Britney Spears.
Hey, what's up? This is Britney Spears and you're online tonight with David Lawrence. Hey, everybody, this is Britney Spears, and you're online today with David Lawrence. Wait, I just did the same one twice. Okay.
It's online today, not online tonight.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, see. Her bad, as she said. And then our most revered of all drops. This
is Cassandra from Big Brother, and you're online tonight with David Lawrence.
See? Right there. I mean, Cassandra from Big Brother, the first one. So...
Okay, Thomas, you were saying...
Yes, I was saying that I agree with you 100% that raw sockets are exploitable.
But it's the issue of whether or not that matters that both of you diverge over. Would that be a fair statement, Thomas?
Not even that it matters, but how much it matters.
How much it matters. And I think that's what it boils down to. It boils down to the fact that the people who read your column and agree with you, Tom, can I call you Tom?
All right.
Okay.
We'll get there.
If you don't want me to, that's fine. Thomas, you know, the people that read your column and agree with it, basically, from what I can tell, and certainly from Kieran's column in support, basically say that Steve is, like, blowing this all out of proportion. It really shouldn't have all this attention, and the fact is that it's just another way for him to draw attention to himself. Yes?
That would be about right, yeah.
Okay. Steve, you, on the other hand, are saying, look, I've been through this a number of times. I'm telling you that just because, you know, a car has locks on it doesn't mean it won't get broken into by a professional. But it's still having locks on it is a deterrent for the mass preponderance of, you know, walk by the car and see the lunch pail sitting there or the watch sitting on the seat or the PDA sitting on the seat and wanting to grab it real quick, sort of the opportunities of convenience or the crimes of convenience.
Well, David, what's driving me is that I actually know something about this. I've actually done the research, and I've seen that on Windows systems that do not have raw sockets, that they do not bother to modify the operating system by adding drivers, and they do not spoof, and they cannot generate SYN floods. That is, the malicious programs don't do that, whereas they do all of those things on Unix and Linux-derived systems specifically because they have raw sockets. So, I mean, I recognize, as Thomas has written, that there are other ways to do flooding attacks. There are ways to be damaging in Windows, but this makes it worse. And one thing no one has addressed is, why is this in there? There's no purpose for it.
All right, let me do this. Now, and I guess you have an answer for that, so hold on to it.
I do, yeah.
We are going to know one way or the other in 8 or 9 months whether this really is something to worry about. And so...
Unplug your computer.
All right, so hold on. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll try and book these guys for next February. Back in a moment.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are. Because I'm going to teach every last one of you how to eat, sleep, walk, talk. Shut up.
Hi. This is Rhoda Tomas, and I'm the guy who ex Britney Spears' site, and you're online tonight with David Lawrence.
Yeah. Even Rhoda Tomas, the guy who hacked Britney Spears' website last week, he gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning to be on this show, for crying out loud. On the line with us is Steve Gibson of GRC.com and Thomas C. Green of the Register at register.co.uk. And just before we went to the break, by the way, this portion of the show brought to you by Parallel Design, the makers of the Personality Pack for your palm. Personalize your palm by protecting your screen, storing your stylus, and expressing your individual style at Parallel Design. And by GnomeDex.com. Come see Ms. Von Stupp, Chris Perlow, and the gang from Locker Gnome at GnomeDex, September 14th and 15th in Des Moines, Iowa. Purchase your airfare from United or Delta, the official airlines of GnomeDex, by July 15th and save up to 15%. We'll be there doing the show live. And
they get to see both of us, too.
Yeah, I'll be there and Steve will be there. And maybe we'll drag Thomas Green up in, and we can have this for like a three-hour, you know, jack thing. You know, you jacking in from the cyber port like what's-his-face used to do, that's MSNBC. What's his name? Who's the guy that had I digress, and I apologize. Before we went to the break...
I hear her laughing in the background.
Yeah, of course, she always does that. That's her job. Before we went to the break, we were hearing Steve in the final moments of a diatribe about no one has proven to Steve why raw sockets is even necessary. And it's as though your position is, and it always has been, that Microsoft went out of its way to add to Windows XP...
No. I think this was a complete mistake. They got a new stack for Windows 2000, a new TCP/IP protocol stack, presumably from FreeBSD or one of the BSD open source systems where it's legal for them to lift the source code and make it their own.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave them a much better and more improved stack with quality of service and IPv6 and a bunch of new features and, for the first time, full raw socket support, which they never had before. I think that this just never even occurred to them.
You think they painted themselves into a corner then? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Right. I think if I had mentioned it to them a year ago, they would have said, oh, that's a good point, Gibson. You know, you're right. We got to turn that off.
All right. Now, as you said that, and as we went to the break, which are the equivalent of skyscraper ads on websites, Thomas C. Green said, yeah. So would you care to elucidate on that comment?
Well, I think if Steve had mentioned this a year ago, they would have ignored him the way they're still ignoring him. I would say that Microsoft is planning to make Windows XP a more practical platform for serious development, like Unix and Linux, which they really need to compete with, and make it as well a user-friendly consumer operating system. Off the top of my head, I think that, you know, it's not fair to say that raw socket functionality or low-level IP functionality is completely useless. I think it could bear fruit for developers in the areas of IDS, intrusion detection systems,
and firewall. Why include it in a consumer version? I mean, one of the things that Steve has been very clear about is the home game that he's concerned about, is the home version of Windows XP. Why include it there?
Well, and raw sockets won't let you build a firewall or an intrusion any kind of an intrusion detection system. You're able to sniff packets in parallel with the system, but you're not able to block them or filter them. So, you know, that functionality is not available.
Back in the beginning, in the early 80s, this was designed to be... Okay, you disagree. Why?
Well, I think that it's hard to say.
Go ahead. Build
point.
A firewall for us right now on the air.
Okay, I'm going to do it. Do you hear me typing?
Yes.
Click, click, clickety, click. Okay, good man. I think it's very difficult for us to say what serious developers could come up with.
Well, if you're not a developer,
difficult. I think that, you know, IP functionality could lead to more secure DCC and VPN hookups over the Internet, could definitely make some improvements in IDS and firewalls, but we don't know because it hasn't happened yet because DOS just hasn't had, you know, a full low-level IT functionality in it. So let's give these guys a chance and see what they do come up with, because they're very clever. And I don't want to say ahead of time what they can't do.
Would it be fair to say that with your background, there may be a small part of you that is wringing your hands in glee that there is now? Hey, I'm just asking the question. Let me ask the question, please. Is there a small part of you that is wringing your hands in glee that now Microsoft has made the biggest mistake of their corporate careers and has now made it possible for the same types of hacks that were not possible with 9X and with 2K and with NT kernels? Okay.
No, because, look, it's absolutely silly to say that only Windows XP machines are affected. It's possible right now to install a library called WinPCAP, which will enable raw IT functionality in earlier versions of Windows via the NDIS layer,
right?
Network Driver Interface Specification layer,
right?
And it would be trivial to code a Trojan that would install it automatically on infected machines and turn every one of those into the very spoofed packet weapons of mass destruction that Steve is afraid of.
All right, let me ask you a question, though. There's a big difference between inculcating a Trojan insertion and actually installing it off the restore disk, isn't there?
Also, it's not just the driver library. It requires the kernel.
Stop. Okay.
Well, you asked me, didn't you?
Yes, I did, but then Steve started talking, and we didn't hear the first part of what you said.
I get to answer.
Yes, let me just make sure that neither one of you talk at the same time as the other. So go ahead, Thomas, answer the question.
Okay. It would not be anything more than trivial to code a Trojan that would install the WinPCAP library into an earlier version of Windows and turn the earlier version of Windows into a spoof packet weapon of mass destruction, just like Steve thinks WinXP is going to be. So if you were to take that functionality out of WinXP, it would be absolutely nothing for a Trojan writer to go ahead and bestow this power on any other version of Windows,
so
including XP.
Your position is, number one, it's trivial to get this functionality in.
Right.
Number two, there are legitimate uses for raw sockets in Windows XP.
Right. Well, we don't know yet. We'll see. I think there may be.
So is, on balance, in your opinion, it an important thing to have raw sockets in XP on the if come that there is something cool that comes out of that research, which I know my mom ain't going to do, and my brother-in-law ain't going to do, and the 95% of the people out there that use Windows as a tool ain't going to do, is it worth that to then have it open to the same type of exploits that Unix has been?
Yes.
Just a simple yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Counselor. I appreciate that. Now, Steve, you wanted to respond.
First of all, I don't disagree with Thomas. What I fall back to is the evidence that this has long been possible in theory, but it has never been done in practice. The WinPCAP library, I will in fact be using it myself in Spooferino. It's a great solution for this kind of thing, but it has never been used. The tools that have been deployed on Windows-based systems for attacking have never taken advantage of that capability before. There can be no doubt that when it's available for free in XP, they will do so. We don't know if they would have continued not to do so if it were not available. But the one other last thing I need to say is that Windows has done one further bad thing, and that is, under Unix and Linux, only applications with root-level privileges, the most privileged applications, have access to raw sockets, specifically because the original designers recognized the danger. That's why applications were prohibited from access to that. Unfortunately, home users have lost this notion of an administrator of their system, and Microsoft told me clearly in the conference call we had on Thursday that all home window, home editions of XP ran as administrator, all applications ran with full privileges, and for the first time in the history of the Internet, raw socket capability would be available to every application regardless of privilege.
So, and to that end, you know, and it's because of the legacy issues with 9X, you've got to be able to run earlier versions of applications without
exactly.
any sort of approach to administration. And I got to tell you, out of the calls that I get on the show regarding getting around things like, oh, my son added a user ID and a password, how do I get rid of that? People just don't have that approach to their machines. It's their personal space.
And they don't want restrictions.
So,
you know, they just kind of want to be able to do whatever they want to do. They don't want something saying, oh, you're not authorized to do that on your own computer.
So what's the danger of that? I mean, you know, if we've got firewalls up, Steve, and we've got, you know, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. We've got firewalls up. We've got people buying, you know, Linksys routers, and they've got hardware protection to a certain degree. What's the diff? I mean, you know, I mean, are you afraid that somebody's going to write an automated tool that just sniffs around for people using XP and just starts using them? I mean, that's basically what Thomas says will happen anyway.
Except that it just makes it so much easier for XP to be this platform that everyone, I mean, if they didn't know now, if they didn't know before, they sure do know now.
Yeah.
That there is this tremendous opportunity for them to create new levels of Internet assault.
And it seems as though there are people who don't, they want to be secure, both of you, this is, and I don't want you to answer at the same time, but there seems to be a group of people both in the world of music and the world of, you know, in secure music and in the world of all security that says, look, if you just don't talk about it, nobody will know about it. But the fact of the matter is that security by obscurity does not work. Isn't that correct, Thomas?
Absolutely. And the irony here is that Steve himself, by banging the gong on this, has, you know, made it evident to a lot of script kiddies who probably wouldn't have noodled it out for themselves.
Oh, come on. Now, wait a minute.
If
all it takes is an IRC chat or a posting here or there, and it becomes the latest rage.
And it's already in source code.
Well, I'd like to finish what I was going to say.
Please do. And I'll stop you in about 30 seconds, and you can finish after the break.
Oh, boy, I better talk fast then.
No. You can finish more after the break. You'll have more time. Don't worry about it.
All right, then. Is 30 seconds up?
Pretty much. So
let's stop talking now.
when we come back,
down.
We will let Thomas Green answer the will it be spread like wildfire without Steve's help question. And we'll talk more with Steve Gibson from GRC.com and Thomas Green from theregister.co.uk. Back in a moment.
God bless you,
Internet. It's my computer, and I want to use it.
Wow. So this is Radio Land, huh?
Hey, bookmark this.
Clue number two is this hour's bookmark this. Once you have this clue, you'll only need four more, which means if my math is correct, one-third of the clues will be yours once you jot this one down. And certainly we've given GRC.com as the bookmark this several times, so let's be fair about this. And also give out to Thomas E. Greenside and make it this hour's bookmark this. It is theregister.co.uk. And you should go there if nothing more than to get used to the vulture. I don't know where the vulture came from, but the vulture's cool. It is a vulture, isn't it?
A pelican?
No,
oh, yeah.
No, it's a vulture. It's either a vulture or a buzzard. And having grown up in Cleveland and being a part of the army of the buzzards on WMMS, I'd like to think it was a buzzard because it has that little tuft around its neck, but it's probably a vulture. Thomas, please, what's the deal?
It's a vulture.
All right, there you go.
You could imagine it as a buzzard as well.
That's okay, fine.
It wouldn't do you any harm.
Yeah. Theregister.co.uk, and you must give it to me in such a fashion that if I stuck it in an address hole in a browser, I'd get there. http://www.theregister.co.uk. That is this hour's bookmark this.
Humming the Batman theme incessantly until listener Adam West is driven insane, this is Online Tonight with David Lawrence.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Gateway and your local Gateway Country Store and Gateway Country People Rule. By Syntegra, the billion-dollar systems integration group of British Telecom. You guys make fun of them too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Syntegra, the brains behind the scenes for some of the world's largest e-business projects. Learn for yourself how Syntegra creates value for clients by visiting Syntegra.com or by calling 888-742-5864. Syntegra, the brains behind the scenes, and by Netflix. Rent as many DVDs as you want for $20 a month. No late fees, no due dates. Netflix, Netflix.com. Our guest, Steve Gibson from GRC.com and Thomas C. Green from The Register over in London. He's their Washington, D.C., bureau. What is your official title?
Bureau chief.
Bureau chief. And is the bureau your kitchen? Come on.
No, the bureau is a corner of my living room.
Ah, heaven forfend that I get that incorrect when I put that up on the multiple.
I'm a serious cook. I wouldn't have this crap in my kitchen.
All right. So before we went to the break, you were about to answer Steve's question. Do you recall what it was?
No, I don't.
Care to restate it?
Recap it for me?
Care to restate it? Steve?
Oh, no, I have no idea what it was either.
Mm.
Oh, bugger.
Bugger.
Does anyone know?
Hey, we can say bugger all and no one cares here.
That's true.
I love that.
Leaked off the BBC. Oh, I think I was making the point about administrative privileges.
Right.
And the fact that that whole notion is gone.
Home users don't care about administrative privileges.
Okay, Thomas disagrees.
So
all
go
right,
ahead, Tom.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And you're right. Home users don't care about administrative privileges. And the raw socket functionality is going to be available to anyone. And if their machine gets compromised, it's going to be available to the little script kitty who's compromised it.
Can't we have a hallelujah here?
I'm sorry.
All right. Actually, I was going to start as he was explaining this with the pomp and circumstances.
Oh, lovely.
But you guys just keep directing the show for me, and I won't do anything. It's
go
fine.
Thomas.
You know, you're in the hands of a professional. Please let
go
me
Thomas.
Do my job. Go ahead, Thomas.
Okay. So I'll allow that Windows XP would make a packet attack a lot harder to deal with, especially a Synflood, which is, you know, basically the spoofed packet, holy grail. Fair enough. 100%. I'm hearing that.
See, this is how it's done.
So good.
It's not directed overtly. It has to sneak under. If I teach you guys anything, let me teach you the basics of showbiz. All right, so go ahead. Finish your statement, though.
But the irony, I think, is that as Steve, you know, continues to tell people that WinXP raw sockets are just going to be the tits. Can I say that?
No, I'm going to bleep that out. I can't do that
bugger.
On the air. Yeah.
Okay.
Please don't say that again, okay?
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
All right, you bleeped it.
Yeah.
We're safe. I don't believe that that's correct because, ironically, by bringing this to everybody's attention, even if Microsoft were to back off the raw socket, raw IP functionality in Windows XP, he's making it clear that you need raw sockets, and because there already is a library which could be installed very easily by a Trojan to take any version of Windows and turn it into a spoofed packet weapon.
So are you actually saying that because he's actually talked about it, it's made the problem worse?
Yes.
Okay,
Hold on
a second. It may have made the problem worse for hackers. It may have made the problem worse for people who can exploit this.
It hasn't made it worse for hackers. It's made it easier for hackers because what they're going to think is, okay, well, if this
functionality disappears,
we can compensate.
I'm saying if Microsoft removes it.
Yeah.
What it appears that you're saying is, quiet. Be quiet. Don't tell them about that. They'll take it out. We don't want them to take it out. We want to have that exploitation.
They're not saying that, you know, they're going to take it, you know, don't let them take it out, because there is a way of making it happen for any Windows machine that's connected, especially to a broadband connection.
So then why have any security at all? I mean, if you can throw your hands up in the air and say, forget it, because it can be exploited anyway, what's the point?
The point is to make money for companies that sell security solutions.
But the security solution is free.
I don't sell anything.
Asking this because I don't understand. On one hand, you've got people like Bruce Schneier who come out and say, just tell everybody about everything. Don't be malicious about it, but tell everybody about everything. Security by obscurity doesn't work. And then you, an avowed hacker is saying, just forget about it. It's no big deal.
Okay, avowed H-word kind of guy.
I gotta take a break. You guys are going to stay with me, right? Yep. I'm going to remember this question. Back in a moment.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
What more could two single guys ask for?
Yes, officer?
Just 40 miles an hour back there. Do you know what the speed limit is, y'all?
Well, according to that sign right there, it's 40 miles an hour.
Step out of the car, please.
Wait a second. Aren't you Stan's little friend?
Sir, step out of the car, please.
Yeah, you're the one who always plugs up the toilet at our house.
I'm a cop, and you will respect my authority.
And now, from the most connected city in the universe, this is Online Tonight with David Lawrence.
Hello.
On the air, toll free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, David Lawrence.
You know, I gotta tell you, the only guest I've ever had on for longer than an hour, ever, and it's been like six times, is Steve Gibson. And I'm not sure if it's because you just don't talk very fast, or because the things that we have you on here for are deep and broad and wide and in some cases a revelation to the average common denominator user that's sitting there on a broadband connection, but you overstay your welcome a lot on this show. I don't like that. I just don't like that. And tonight, to add insult to injury, we're stuck with Thomas Green from the Register. So seriously, I want to thank you guys for staying with us and for being on with us. We're talking tonight about this debate that has raged. And, you know, Thomas, you got to know that anything you tell Lily, she's going to tell me.
Okay.
I mean, to hear that Kevin Poulsen was the best man at your wedding.
That's right.
I mean, come on. You got to start thinking about what prompts you to say the things that you say.
Kevin is a wonderful gentleman.
Yeah. And
I was honored.
I'm
and
sure
privileged
you were. Yeah.
To How share ma- that intimate moment with him and his lovely girlfriend, EFF Legal Beagle, Lauren Gelman.
How many people talked to them exclusively and forgot that they were at your wedding? I mean, seriously. You guys went off to your wedding suite going, damn, why did I invite Poulsen?
No, it worked out quite well.
All right. Before we went to the break.
Believe it or not, the register carries a little bit of weight.
Yeah, of course it does. And it does. I mean, we talk about articles in the register all the time, and we love the fact that you guys are around. And I personally want to thank you for coming on the show and for making your acquaintance. Well, we want to have you on again because you're funny. Only because you're funny. Book him. And Steve, of course, you know how much we love you, buddy.
Well,
hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it though. The earlier on, remember when you couldn't believe that I had never seen a single show of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Oh, that was pretty funny. Yeah. So I've got all these. You want to talk about cart machines, Thomas? I've got all of the effects from. You know, from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and, you know, and I'm playing all these for Steve and the phone-a-friend bag,
yeah.
You know, and all this stuff.
What about that neurotic dyke from, what is that one? We Ann, Link?
Ann, yeah, Ann Robinson.
Ann,
yes.
Yeah.
Which I hate. I just hate the whole thing.
No, you really want to do her in a punishing way, don't you?
No, I do not want to do her in any way, shape, or form, nor does she want to do me, okay? And that's the more important part. Before we went to the top of the hour break, you were given a short shrift in terms of answering the question about, look, it seems as though you're saying, don't talk about this, obscurity through, you know, security through obscurity, and you know, just shut up because we don't want this taken out of the software, and you were answering that. So go back.
Yeah, I was answering that. I don't believe in, you know, security through obscurity, but I think it's incredibly ironic that Steve's attention to this issue is simply going to instruct script kiddies to get busy with the WinPCAP raw IP function library and set it to be uploaded with their Trojans.
But isn't that in and of itself ironic, though?
For the sake of argument, let's say I was one of those H-word kind of guys.
Yeah, right.
You know, I would be able to take over a Windows machine with ease, with a Trojan. One of my favorites, well, assuming that I was an H-word kind of guy, one of my favorites probably would be Sub 7. And I could use those Windows machines for heavy packeting without the owner's knowledge, and I could launch an attack en masse using IRC commands while all my bots got into the channel. Ba-boom, I could just, you know, pop in a little command, and they're all off and doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Steve's solution is to confine Windows users to the operating system equivalent of scissors with blunt ends, such as we give to little children. He's convinced that the Harry homeowner sort of Windows user can only injure himself with a fully featured operating system.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you're sort of taking this in that way, but that's the way operating systems have been striated for years anyway. Nobody's thinking that Linux is going to be something that my mom or my brother-in-law is going to use.
It could be if the OEMs would go ahead and develop it properly. And it would be a terrific OS because the OEMs could save a whole lot of money by not having to spend all that on, you know, license fees to Microsoft. It's not ready at this point, but I feel that it would be very easy for me to, without spoofing packets, in the absolute absence of spoofing packets, take down a website and make it extremely frustrating to get back online. If it became, you know, if it came to my attention that I needed to spoof packets, then I would look into how I could do that so that if Steve succeeded in shaming Microsoft into removing the raw IP functionality in XP, I would say, okay, let me go ahead and find a way of compromising those machines and going ahead and uploading a driver which would enable me to spoof packets anyway.
So
and
all you're saying is
possible.
Instead of jacking the car, you'd tow it away. It seems as though what you're saying is it doesn't really matter because there's a million different ways to get into a system, a million different ways to compromise things.
There are millions of ways.
So why have any security at all? I mean, what happens when you get to the point where all of the things are known, everybody knows it, it's common knowledge, and we've done nothing to prevent it from happening. What about the slow, painful, making it difficult for a script kiddie who does nothing but copy and paste?
Right.
What about making it difficult for them to do what they do? It's not Steve's
there
exposing
are people making
it.
Enormous salaries, you know, especially in comparison to my own as a journalist, who are doing just that, making it difficult, but you can't make it impossible.
Well, but that doesn't, you're not saying that you're making it impossible, and I don't want to speak for Steve. I'm saying that every security expert I've ever talked to, that I've had on this show, that I've had on Geek Speak, everyone that I've talked to has always said you'll never have a 100% completely secure solution. Your best hope is to make it, you know, utterly impossible for someone to waste enough time to try and get into a system. And Steve,
that's the ideal.
Is that fair? Do you agree on that point as well?
Guys, you know, first of all, I never told anybody about WinPCAP. I took the position that it was impossible. I set up a deliberate disinformation campaign from the beginning in order to dissuade the script kiddies that I had come into contact with from believing that there was another approach to this. And it was only because I had to defend myself against articles like Thomas's that I finally was forced to acknowledge there were other ways to do this. I didn't want to say that. I never said that, and I never told anybody how it could be done. I agree that the information should be kept as, you know, away from people as much as possible. But, Steve, isn't that the equivalent of giving people scissors with blunt ends? Well, I mean, Thomas, it's standard practice in security, as you, I'm certainly you well know, that when you divulge a vulnerability, the people who might be able to exploit it have the opportunity. I mean, it's what happens every day in security as we disclose new vulnerabilities.
I'm so sorry.
We're in a position
Please hold. I'm sorry. We got that sound means we got to take a break. So I apologize, but here comes one of those other blockbuster ads. All right, hold on one second. Back in a moment with Thomas and with Steve.
It's on the internet.
Ever heard of a little thing called the internet?
Internet, eh?
I'm not sure, but I think I went myself.
Online tonight. Geek speak.
Okay, a decidedly non-Unix-based clue number three. Clue number three this hour is Geek Speak. It's HyperCard. HyperCard. Jot it down. HyperCard. People actually still use HyperCard. I see it going around all over the place. HyperCard from Apple Computer was one of the very first easy-to-use products that let people create their own standalone stacks or hyperlinked applications. Long before, you know, HTML was around to create their own websites, HyperCard was around to let them create really bad user interfaces. It is still around, it is still in use, but it's going by the wayside. It's one of those anachronisms that you want to remember if you're an Apple user. HyperCard. It's also this hour's Geek Speak, and clue number three in the digital scavenger hunt. All kinds of cool prizes to give away if you jot down all the clues and you're the first correct caller at the end of the show that can regurgitate them back to me. This portion of the show brought to you by Rackspace Managed Hosting at Rackspace.com. Fanatical support, unmatched speed, total flexibility. Get hosted at Rackspace Managed Hosting or call 1-800-961-2888. Rackspace, the power behind online-tonight.com and the Net Music Countdown.
Online Tonight.
Hypoallergenic and not tested on animals, unless you count our listeners in the Bronx.
Right.
This is Online Tonight with David Lawrence.
We are talking with Steve Gibson and with Thomas E. Green from the Register, two people diametrically opposed on this issue of raw sockets in Windows XP, although they've agreed to a couple of things this evening, which I find very interesting. After this segment is over, I'm going to let you guys go. And what I want to do is put forth two statements and let you each have a reasonable amount of time to respond to it. Thomas, you'll go first. And then it's sort of like debate club in high school. Hackers claim that they compromise systems not as some, you know, infantile masturbatory function, but to raise the awareness of the admin. You know, we did it because the admin ignored us and needs to know. How is that any different from Steve letting people know that this exists? The fact that its awareness is being raised doesn't necessarily negate its effectiveness as a hack. Second, isn't this a situation where Steve Gibson is in a lose-lose situation? Because if they leave XP, if they leave raw sockets in XP and nothing happens, then Steve didn't have anything to run around saying the sky fell down anyway. And if something does happen, it's because he said something. So isn't that unfair, ultimately? So, Thomas, go ahead, take it and run with it.
No, it's not unfair because Steve brought himself before the tribunal of criticism, you know, uncalled, and solicits fame at the hazard of disgrace. That is standard Sam Johnson.
You really think that he's after? You really think he's after fame?
I don't know what he's after. He may be extremely sincere about what he's after, but he said just before the break that he wanted to cover up the importance of Win PCAP as a way of compensating for the lack of raw IT function in earlier versions of Windows, and that strikes me as security through obfuscation, which doesn't really work. If you have the information, then supposedly these professionals who are making 10 times more than I am as a critic should be able to take that and work with it.
You have issues with your paycheck, my friend.
No, I have serious issues being a journo. I mean, come on, we are the most underappreciated.
I think it's a bureau in the corner of the living room.
Group of people on earth.
It's because you need better furniture in the corner of your living room. That's right.
No, it's true. I've got a computer.
Well, now wait a minute. But which is it? Is it? Don't tell people about it. Or if you tell people about it, if you keep your mouth shut, you know, you're going to, I mean, you seem to be talking out of both sides of your mouth.
If you always tell people about it, then hopefully someone will come up with a solution. If you don't tell people about it, there will be no solution, and the malicious will definitely get in on the deal. What you were talking about, the second part of your question, which I can't remember because
being
a typical chain-smoking
drunk, the deal is either XP gets, you know, the raw sockets get left in, nothing happens, Steve shouldn't have been worrying about it in the first place, or it gets left in and things do happen and it's because Steve raised awareness.
Time alone is going to confirm the truth one way or the other. In the meantime, I'll become a believer in Steve's hype when I see the raw socket Armageddon happen or when I get a chance to put my finger through the nail holes in his hands.
Okay, so you're actually saying then it isn't a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
Maybe he hasn't talked so much about it that it's a done deal that kids are going to do this, that in fact if it happens, it's not because of his raising the awareness of it.
It has to work the way he says it's going to work for him to come out of this in a good condition.
For example, in a bad condition.
The kiddies decide to upload WinPCAP to older Windows machines, even if Microsoft backs down from putting raw IT functionality in XP, if it doesn't happen the way that he says it happens, then he's going to have a fair amount of egg on his face at the end of the day.
All right. So thank you, Thomas. Steve.
I see it, unfortunately, as a win-win. And I say unfortunately because I had hoped that I could bring this up, that Microsoft would step up and take responsibility, and that they could simply disable the recognition of one bit in the API. That's all it takes, is for one bit to be disabled. It's not a big change. It's easy for them to do. They already have Pro behaving differently than the Home Edition in all kinds of other ways. So they have all the mechanisms there for doing this. Unfortunately, I'm convinced this is going to happen, that next year, 6 months from now, we'll be on the show, and we will find that in the wild there are new zombie Trojan programs using the raw socket interface to launch a whole new level of problem, and that could have been avoided. I will have been right, but I wish I could have been right by getting Microsoft to take it out.
All right. So
time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. And obviously, I'd like to have both of you on, not together, because it's like being Miles, whoever that guy is that had that short-lived, show where he was the judge, but he originally was a referee. It's a painful thing. I like having Steve on, and I anticipate having you on, Thomas, individually between now and then to talk about this and other things. But let's make a date for sometime after XP gets released, say, towards the beginning of 2002, to look back and say, okay, did this happen? Did something change?
Cool.
Was the lay of the land the way we thought it would be and so on? Can I get that from you guys?
Cool. I will be the first to excoriate myself on the air.
Will there be any ass-kissing on the public square? Can we get you down on the mall and like have Steve bend over and you know, have a little butt kissing going on?
No, I don't think I will go quite that far,
right.
But I will be the first to excoriate myself
right.
on the air if
right.
I'm wrong.
Well, what about in your column, though?
No question about that.
All right.
Retract.
Let's hope you still have a job. And I'm going to write a little note to the editor there saying, give you an extra zero at the end of your paycheck, okay?
You the man.
All right. Well, how can I be the man if you're the man?
All
right. Steve Gibson from GRC.com, Thomas Green from The Register. Thanks so much. Back in a moment.